just a few things before I start the sermon. One, I'm perfectly happy to have Josh doing the welcome the rest of the month. But I am going to tell you this. If you guys take all these envelopes and turn them back in filled with money and we raise $40,000, he is preaching and praying the offertory prayer for the next year. That's just the way it's going to be. On a more somber note, I would remind you that later today, Martha Burnett's service will be held at Stevens with burial to follow. And then on Tuesday, because it's been some weeks since Betty Shipe left us to be with the Lord, I would remind you that there's a graveside service at Anderson Memorial Gardens on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Keep those circles of friends and family in mind, even as we celebrate here this morning. Well, as you know, I've been thinking about Jesus, not just for a sermon series, but for most of my life, but I've really been thinking about Jesus in recent weeks. And the longer I have done so, the more I realize that one of the ways we probably ought to think of Jesus is like this: game changer. Jesus is the game changer of all game changers. Take the story that was read earlier in the service as a prime example of how Jesus may work in a life as game changer. It all starts there by the Lake of Galilee. It starts on what is otherwise a perfectly normal day by the lake. Fishermen have come in from their night's work. They're cleaning their nets. They're sorting their fish. The only thing that is abnormal about that morning is where the story starts. It begins with Jesus, who is there by the lakeside on that particular day, teaching. Now, teaching is mostly what Jesus does. He throws in a few miracles, of course, but over the course of his life, he puts almost all of his energy day in, day out into teaching by word and by deed. But on this day, he's teaching by the Lake of Galilee, and he's drawn an enormous crowd to listen. In fact, the crowd is so large and is beginning to press in on him that his feet are starting to get wet as he's backed into the lake. So Jesus does something. He begins to look around. He begins to seek a vantage point from which he might be seen and heard well by the entire crowd. And as he looks around for a vantage point from which he might be seen and heard by the people in the crowd, he spots a person. See, there's a principle playing through this entire story, and the principle goes something like this. Jesus positions himself to be seen and heard by others through people, through persons, through a man or a woman. Pay attention to that principle as you rethink this story with me this morning, because I've got to tell you, Jesus is always on the lookout for a vantage point, and for Jesus, the form of a vantage point is always a person and what he or she may bring with them. So he's looking around, looking for someone who can help him be heard and seen by the crowd, and he spots Simon. Simon the fisherman, who is gathered there with other fishermen who are all part of a fishing corporation, so to speak, a little partnership there. They're nearby, they're there on the shore, they've pulled their boats in after a night of commercial fishing. They're doing what fishermen in that era did. They're cleaning nets and sorting fish and trying to get ready for the next day. No doubt they're also listening and they're watching the crowd, listening to what Jesus is doing, all while they are going about their work. All of them already seem to know Jesus. Maybe because James and John are his cousins, or maybe because he's already done so much work in that region. Well, just everyone knows about Jesus. But for whatever reason, they're watching, they're listening, while going on with their daily task. Simon, now that's the one Jesus attaches himself to. Simon, would you let me get into your boat? And you put out a little way so that I can continue teaching. And Simon says yes. Simon, at least of all of them, already seems to consider Jesus as a legitimate teacher of the faith, as a legitimate expert in the field of religion, specifically first century Jewish religion as practiced in that area. And that's why he's willing to step away from pressing work, climb back into that blooming boat, and pull out into the lake with Jesus, just a little ways out. Jesus sits in the boat. He continues teaching. He's heard and seen by the crowd. And then he finishes. He finishes teaching the crowd, turns to Simon, and gives him a command. Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, Simon reacts in a perfectly understandable way. He begins to actually, when you think about it, rather gently remind Jesus that he, Simon, is the fisherman, not you, Jesus. I'm the fisherman. You're sitting in my boat. Remember, I do this for a living. He, again, rather gently explains to Jesus, you know, we've been working all night out there in the lake, which is the proper time for commercial fishing on the Lake of Galilee. Thank you very much. And again, he's simply trying to say to Jesus, now, I'm the fisherman here. I know about fishing. You don't. Maybe you know about religion. Maybe you can make a chair back in the carpenter shop, but you don't know anything about what I do. He goes on, he notes that they're tired after a night's work and a morning's work, and that the nets and the other equipment need attention. Now, this is what Simon is trying to say to Jesus without saying it out loud. You're asking me to go against best practice in my trade, in my profession. Remember, who's the fisherman here? Me. Now, you and I have just heard this story too many times. Too many times, because if you read the story for the first time without having ever heard it in your life, you realize the story is setting us up to expect Simon to say, no, I'm not doing it. You don't know anything about what you're talking about. Get back to your teaching. Get back to religion. And you know, if the story went that way, and it could have gone that way, if the story goes that way, it becomes a story of Simon, the expert on fishing, teaching Jesus rather than vice versa. It becomes the story of Simon, the fisherman, setting some limits on just what part of his life Jesus has anything to say about. And while that can sound a little strange to church-going folk like us, it's actually the way we function most of the time, is it not? Don't we seek to say to Jesus, now remember, I'm the dentist here, I'm the nurse here, I'm the doctor here, I'm the tradesman here, I'm the, and you just fill in the blank, doesn't matter. I'm the one with expertise in my home culture. Thank you very much, Jesus. You don't really know how things work. I'm the one with expertise in my family. You just don't understand my family. I'm the one with expertise in politics. You couldn't find your way through American politics if you tried, Jesus. I'm the one with expertise in economics, relationships. However long a list you want to throw out there, that's how we really function. Jesus, you're in my boat, and I know how to run it. But Simon actually does something unexpected. He agrees to try what Jesus tells him to try. Now, that's extraordinary. We're so familiar with the story that we just miss the surprise inherent in Simon saying yes. Now, he obeys, but I'm also convinced, based on what we know about Simon, that there's no doubt he expects nothing good to come of this. Nothing's going to happen except he's going to go to a lot of extra work and a great deal of fruitless work, and maybe, just maybe, he'll then have the chance to say to Jesus, see, I tried to tell you, it wouldn't work. So he pulls out into the deep water. He throws out the nets over the side of the boat, and that's not an easy task. They settle down into the deep water, and then the fish start to arrive. They don't just come in onesies and twosies. They come in dozens and dozens. They fill the net. The boat is sinking. He calls for help. They toss out another net. It gets filled. Everybody's sinking. Never have they seen such a catch. And with great labor and more than a bit of luck, they make it back to the shore with the catch. Who's the fisherman? And back on shore. Confronted now with more work for the day, by the way, but back on shore, Simon starts to realize he does not know everything there is to know about work. He doesn't know everything there is to know about life. He doesn't know everything there is to know about God, even though he has lived as if he did until that moment. And not for the last time in his life, Simon breaks. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, his concept of himself and his place in the world shatters. His concept of what is possible and impossible shatters. His concept of the place of Jesus shatters. And then everything starts to reassemble into a new pattern. Now I hear the horn. Listen to me. All right? You wouldn't let it distract you from a UT basketball game. Listen to me. Everything shatters and starts to reassemble into a new pattern. And that's why he makes that confession. That strange confession, leave me, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He's not talking about particular moral failures or anything like that. He's talking about how now that he has a different view of how Jesus fits into his life and the life of the world, he, Simon, realizes God's doing something new. And God is doing something new, and it is beyond my inherent capacity to take a meaningful part in it. So just leave me. I'm not up to this. I don't have what I think it takes. So you can imagine his surprise when Jesus says, well, don't worry about that. Just come follow me and I'll teach you how to be a fisher of persons. Jesus invites him to go farther with him along the way. He says, in effect, come travel with me. Come travel with me, walk alongside me, watch me, listen to me, and start to practice helping me do what I do. Connect with people. Connect with people. Now, what will be the result of all that? Well, many things, and they're scattered throughout all the gospel stories of Simon and the others, but it is enough to know on that day and in this story that Jesus will teach Simon how to draw persons to Jesus. Jesus, the person, and the way of Jesus. Both and, not either or. Jesus and the way of Jesus. Now, here is the gospel truth on a Sunday morning. That's pretty much the standing invitation Christ extends to each person in any time, in any place. Whatever else is going on, the invitation is to come walk with me, listen to me, watch me, learn from me, practice doing what I do, connecting people with God. Well, whatever else you can say about our journey with Christ, if it's a real journey, it always pushes and prods and leads us to becoming persons who draw others to the person and the way of Jesus Christ. As individuals, as groups, as friendship circles, as congregations. Now, the wondrous thing in the story is that Simon accepts the invitation. He cannot imagine where this might take him. He cannot imagine what he will do along the way, but he knows enough in that moment to trust Jesus for a moment and move into this new life he will live into with Christ. And in large measure, you and I are here this morning because he did. When I think about Jesus and when I think about this story, I find myself wondering who might be drawn to Jesus and the way of Jesus by you. You, that unique person that you are, if only you will stop thinking at least for a moment that you know better than Jesus when it comes to anything. Who might be drawn to Jesus and the way of Jesus by us if we would do the same by me? If I would do the same. Jesus once said something like this in another story. It's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom. Well, he might also have added, it's hard for someone who thinks he or she knows how life works to enter the kingdom. Something's got to be shattered and reassembled. Now, the good news is this. People do enter the kingdom in this life and become people who draw others to Jesus and the way of Jesus. People of expertise, people of life experience do this. And for each of them, Jesus proves to be the game changer in their lives and through them, the game changer in the lives of others. If we listen to Jesus, do as he asks, and in effect, put out into the deep water and let down the nets. I offer this today in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, give us eyes through which we may view this ancient story afresh. Help us to see the surprise that crops up more than once within it, and how that surprise might point our own imaginations in the direction of Jesus. Help us to see ourselves as persons to whom he turns, persons through whom he hopes to attract others to him and his way. And shatter our preconceptions of how much we know about how to do life, so that Christ may reorder our understanding. Give us courage enough this morning to start on that way with him. And courage enough in the days to come to live into it. For this we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Come and follow this Jesus. Make your profession of faith. Join this church in any of the ways we receive members. Most of all, just do what Simon did. Just do what Simon did. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. I'll be here to receive you.